forgiveness in our heart. Amen. And we don't want to let go. That's iniquitous. We have hidden sin that we don't know about it. We know, you know how we testify, but we get to that part that we don't want nobody to know. We start, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because we can't say that. Because it's embarrassing. But we still hold on to our secret iniquity. Amen? But the Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The word bruised for our iniquity. Notice what it said. A bruise is what? Underneath the skin. A bruise is under, is actually a wound underneath the skin. And so when you get a bruise, the blood comes and rises up. Even though it doesn't come out of the skin, you know that it's a sore spot. And something happened underneath the skin. And so guess what? Even for the things that happens underneath the skin, he said that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. So Jesus paid the price for it all. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. But he says then, verse 18, let's go further. He says, He said, their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. He said that we are afflicted. And he said, our soul, we have a certain appetite. Because of our appetite, we end up in death. The Bible said the carnal mind is what? Death. The carnal mind is a rebel against the things of God. The carnal mind is death, and it breeds death. It does not bring life. And so we have to get out of the carnality of mind and start having the mind of Christ. Oh, I wish I had some people in here today.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Greater King David Baptist Church and Dr. John E. Montgomery II presents National Pastor Appreciation Day this Sunday at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. If Pastor Montgomery has been a blessing to you, here's an opportunity for you to be a blessing to him. With gifts, cards, love offerings, sent to Dr. John Montgomery at 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, 70806. And Cash App at $JEM2. That's $JEM2.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I am drawn to a familiar verse of scripture that I am honestly thankful to God for, because it speaks to us in a deep way for us to look beyond our circumstances, our sorrows, our situations, our trials, our tribulations, and it tells us to trust God, to trust Him. You know, it's always easy to trust Him when it's good, when things are going well, and all of those things, but when it's really rocky and when it's really rough, can you trust Him in those times? Psalm 46 and 10. Psalm 46 and 10. The psalmist encourages us according to this word by saying, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. You may be seated in the presence of our Almighty God. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, hold on to your faith in God. Hold on to your faith in God. If you don't mind helping me this morning, turn to someone and say to them, hold on to your faith in God. Tell somebody else, hold on to your faith in God. Well, do the best thing you can do. Tell yourself, self, hold on to my faith in God. Now, if you're going to do that, give Him a hand of praise, because if you ever needed to hear that, that is a time, this is a time that that must be your course in life. The psalmist starts off by telling us in the first word, verse 1, that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, no matter what time it is. He is a very present help. Now, when we look at verse 1, it sets us up for verse 10, and all that interplays through verses 2 and 9 just gives us reason why we ought to know that God is our refuge and our strength. Because at some point in time in our lives, in our struggles, in our trials, and in our challenges, we have had to go to God as a refuge, a place of safety, a place where we can be strengthened when life has hit us and drained us and depleted us of much of our natural strength and ability to hold on. And in our weaknesses, God, in that place of refuge, makes us strong again. But not in our strength, but in His strength. And He makes it clear to us that He is a very present help in trouble. So then why then, when trouble comes, we're running around looking for everybody to help us and to encourage us and to comfort us and to be there for us, when the word says that He is a very present help? Do you know what it makes God feel like when you run to everybody first, and then when they fail you, then you turn to Him? When He's been there, thank you, all the time, overlooking Him, And he's been right there for you to lean on, depend on, and trust in. But you would not. Well, when you get a chance at home, read through the second through the ninth verse, you will again have sufficient information again to know the strength of our God, how he is able to do anything but fail, how he's able to conquer, change, and control any and every condition. And then, excuse me, when you get to the 10th verse, there is no reason why you can't be still. If you believe 1 through 9, then you ought to be, it's a setup at verse 10 for you to be ready if you're not ready, to be ready to do what God wants you to do by trusting and believing and having faith in him. Jesus told his disciples, have faith in God. Now, I'm not going to keep you long, but I want us to see three important points in this verse. First thing I want you to see is that be still literally means to wait on God. Be patient. But while you're being patient, it literally means to be calm and relaxed in him, or the faith that you have in him that he's going to work out whatever is going on in your life, especially when the devil makes you think it's not going to work out. When the devil makes you think that this thing is going to be everything but all right, you have got to learn, again, from verse 9 back up to verse 1, that there's no reason for you to be running around all worked up, nerves all rattled, you all in a place of anxiety, when God has told you, be still, be patient, wait on him. Do you know why many of us lose it? We lose it because we don't know how to wait. Instead of waiting, we get busy trying to work it out ourselves. And the more we try to work it out, the more it falls apart. When God has said from the beginning, just be still. See, when you learn how to trust God, depend on God, lean on God, then you don't let the devil work your nerves up wondering, what can you do? Well, you can't do nothing most times. But what you do know is who can do. And when you know who can do, and that's the Lord, then you trust in him to do what you can't do. How many, you know, he specializes in the impossible. Well, listen at this. When you do the possible, when you do all that you can do, be still. Because now it's no longer in your area, but God's. It moves from the possible to the impossible. And when it moves from the possible to the impossible, that means the fight no longer is your fight. It's God's fight. And God only wants you to sit down, be quiet, and watch him work it out. God wants to see you trusting him, not worrying, not letting the devil take your joy, not letting the devil spoil the moment of God's graciousness to you, but the fact that you realize God brought you to this moment so that you would be able to watch him do something greater in your life. Somebody say, wait on God. Be still. Be still. How many times, and how many of you would be honest with me and say, as you've looked back over your life, how you mess things up when you got ahead of God. How many of you would be honest and say, you made a fool out of yourself? Asking folk who don't care nothing about you to help you. Going to folk and telling them all of your business. And then after telling them all your business, say, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Making you feel foolish because instead of telling the one who knew all about your pain, all about your trials, all about your situation, you went to man to tell man, and man made a mockery of your pain and then made you feel foolish for asking him. And God never does that to us. And not only that, when we tell God all about it, guess what? He doesn't tell. I'm not going to say he don't tell anybody, but he don't tell anybody that don't mean you no good. Let me tell you the ones he tells. He tells the ones that he's given the resources to who can give to you what he's given to them. In other words, he goes to them, those that he sent a blessing to, and know that he can send a blessing through and then put your name on their hearts. And they bless you. And many times they don't even know why. They just know God put you on their hearts. And so we've got to learn how to wait on him all through the word of God. The encouragement of wait is placed before the believer because we have a mighty God who loves us. The second thing in the verse is important as well, because when you wait, it's a sign of your faith in God. See, folk who can't wait on God don't have much faith in God. And so it again bespeaks your faith in our God. But how can you have faith? I like the way Paul put this. How then shall we call on him in whom we've not believed? And then how can we believe in him in whom we've not heard? And how can we hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? So I like the way Paul put this. Paul put, if you ain't got a preacher who's preaching truth to help you understand what the faith is all about, then it's going to be difficult in a time to call on him when you've not believed in him because you've not heard enough believing word to build up your most holy faith. And so when trials and troubles and tribulations come, your faith will kick in and cause you to call on him in whom you have believed. Even when the preacher ain't nowhere around, you're calling on the God that the preacher preached about. Because the God the preacher preached about is a very present help in trouble. So the second part we need to look at is wisdom. Wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. You start off waiting because you have faith in God, because you have learned something of God. But then he says, again, be still and know. Know, the word yada in the Hebrew is an intimate term. It has many, many, many connotations connected with it. But it literally means in an intimate, up-close, personal way. Some folks say they know God, but what they really mean is they know of God. Because when you know God, you know things about God. You know his character. You know his nature. You know his operation. You know how he flows. You know what he likes. You know what he dislikes. You know so many things about him that brings you into a more intimate fellowship in that relationship. You know, folks say they know folk, and you ask folk who've been knowing each other for a long time, what's my favorite color?
What's sad about it is you can say to them, now look, close your eyes. Tell me what color my eyes are. Y'all getting quiet on me here. You can ask those who are closest to you, you know, what's my favorite movie? What's my favorite food? You know, what's my favorite color? If I could, what is my favorite car that I'm believing God for? You know, I mean, that's when you really know somebody. But you know, I know a lot of folk. Somebody said, tell your pastor, I said hi. And they said, I said, who is that? And they say, they know you. I said, no, they don't know me. They know of me. Because here's the thing here's the kicker. If I don't know them, they don't know me. Because you have to be in a relationship with me to know me. Have I got a witness here? You see, you can't just know God coming to church on Sunday morning. You got to know him intimately. You've got to have a relationship. You got to talk with him every day of the week. You got to have the ability to know God is with you all during the day. God is not just with you in his house. He's with you in your house. And when you leave your house, he's with you. And wherever you go, work, school, or where have you, God is right there with you. When you know him, you'll know that he's ever present. When you know him, you know his word. You understand his desire. You give yourself to him because you know what he wants most from you. Your money ain't what he wants most from you. Your heart is what he wants from you. He wants the love that's genuine, not forced. Some of you come to God because you ain't got no other place to turn. When it was good, you couldn't find you in the church house. But when your life falls apart, death comes, situations happen, then you come run up to the house of the Lord, let a storm come, let a situation happen, let you lose this and that, then you come humbly bowed and knee bent then. I thank God I'm not gone. Because I would remind you, when it was good and you were having fun, you were too busy for me. You wouldn't give me the time of the week, less known the time of the day. Everything else was more important to you than me. And now that you're down, you want to run to me and say, help me. And look at what he said. He's a very present help in trouble. In trouble. And some of you can sit there and act pious and holier than thou yourselves, but you know you'd be just like me. Well, I pass on, maybe the rest of y'all are holier than thou, but I'm not there yet. Listen to what he says, and know that I am God. That's wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. It's not just enough to know, but to know and to do is wisdom. See, a whole lot of us know better, but it don't mean we do better. That's knowledge in itself, but wisdom is putting knowledge in practice. In other words, it's doing what you know to do. And when you know that he is God, you want to do what God has told you to do. Because he is God. And when you begin to absorb the wisdom of God, you begin to walk in that wisdom. and you begin to walk in that authority, and you begin to operate in that wisdom, and God begins to shape and turn your life all around and give you the success and everything that you're hunting and looking everywhere else for. But when you trust him and look to him to lead you and guide you, he'll guide you right to the place where you've been hoping to go. Look again and know that I am God. I love the word, and I love taking time and letting the Spirit of God show me things in the word. Now look at that. Know that I am God. Now just take out the middle three words, and it says, know God. Know God. But if you don't know God, then you start from the last word and go back to that first one. God know. But look at what it says, that I am. That I am. You go back to Exodus 3 and 14 when Moses was having a conversation with God, because God had told him to go to the children of Israel and tell them in Egypt land that God had heard their prayers after 430 years, and he was about to minister to them and deliver them. And Moses said, well, God, listen, I've got a questions I want to ask you. And he went on with his series of questions. But here's what he said, most importantly. When the people ask me, who is it that sent me? What is your name? What do you want me to tell them? And he said, tell them that I am. That I am, the same that I am between no God. He said in the 15th verse, he said, I'm the God, Father, I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and this is my name forever, and this shall be a memorial unto me. Now listen to what he said. I am that I am is my name forever. Right in the midst of know that I am God, it is God reminding us afresh that he does not change. He remains the same. What he says, he means, and what he means, he says. And when you know that he's a very present help, what does that say to me? Whatever I need him to be, he's already that. I like the way John lays him out. John 6:35, if you're hungry, I am bread. If you're in darkness, John 8 and 12 says, I am the light of the world. If you're locked out, he says, I am the door. In John 10 and 9. If you need a shepherd and you're without one who knows you, a good shepherd, he says in John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. He says, but listen, if there is an issue with death and life, I need you to know, even if you die believing in me, John 11 and 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And then listen at this. If you've lost your way, don't know the truth, and don't have no real life, he says, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in John 15 and 1, he says, I am the true vine. Seven times in John does he reiterate that name that is forever. And I want to throw this out parenthetically. He is everything you have need of him to be in your life. Why wouldn't you serve a God like that? Why wouldn't you humble yourself and get to know even better the one who will be there when every, and I said every, everyone else at some point in time will let you down, but he will never